Hi, this is Chelsea from Brewtiful British Columbia and Pacific Beer Chat. I wanted to share with our listeners about the Cirrus Cask Festival happening later this spring. Held at 12 Kings Pub on June 10th, this year there'll be over 40 special casks made by women in the brewing industry. Cirrus Festival recognizes the passion that women bring to this industry, and the intention is to use the festival as a platform to highlight the issues and successes of women working in all areas of making and selling beer. The first hour is restricted to women only to encourage networking and will feature a Q&A session with Nancy Moore and special guest speakers sharing their experience, hopefully igniting interest for attendees to get more involved in the industry, from learning to brew beer to opening up their own breweries. Ticket sales will support a $1,500 bursary for women in the second year of the KPU Brewing and Brewery Operations Program. Last year's festival was a blast, and we're hoping to see an even better turnout at this year's festival. To get tickets, go to tricitiescaskfestival.com/Cirrus Cask Festival.
You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
All right, for this episode, I've got Steve, who is now officially also just part of Pacific Beer Chat. We've got three beer from Steel and Oak out of New Westminster. And I'm pretty excited to try two of the three I've never had before, and one is quite new. What do you think, Steve? What should our order be for these ones?
So what have we got? We've got the Baltic Porter. We've got the Wolven Barrel-Aged Dark with raspberries. And what was the last one?
I think it's Kalib.
Kleep?
Which is a
red beer. I think beer. Let's start there.
All right. Well, this one's quite interesting. It's a bread beer. It's part of their brewer series. It's 5.1% alcohol, but it's a cascading loaves of beautiful rye, buckwheat, and whole wheat sourdough bread from Solo Duke.
Hang on.
Let's check with Steve here.
Solodko, Ukraine.
So Solodko Ukrainian Bakery in New West went into this mash of the Kvass-inspired beer. Kalib is fermented with a Belgian yeast strain and has notes of toast, spice, and fruit. Kalib is re-fermented in the bottle. Please pour gently, leaving the yeast and sediment behind.
One of these days we should have my sister-in-law on for a Ukrainian beer roundup.
Sounds good.
She can actually pronounce the thing.
Just even if she doesn't want to be part of it, just keep her around for the pronunciation.
That is a super dark amber beer. Like, I'm not even quite sure how to describe that. Despite being a super dark beer, it's got a super white head. Like, that is stunningly white. Yep, standard picture for the podcast.
Yep. All right, yeah, it's a really deep, like...
Like, that is super dark.
It's not quite a reddish, it's more of a brown...
Yeah, like I'm holding it up to light. I can barely see through it. So it's not super clear either.
Super cloudy. Oh, it's almost like a deep chestnutty or copper.
Yeah, I'd go with copper. Maybe even darker than that. Like it's a red copper. I don't actually have the word for that color. That's a new one.
Nice.
Super musty smelling. Got like a winery after crushing.
Okay, yeah. But it's definitely got lots of bread notes to it. Like, yeah. You're getting that rye and you're getting kind of that sourdough.
Yeah, like super grainy, but yeah, fruity and grainy, I think, are the two predominant notes for me. I'm getting like a lot of grape must. I'm getting a lot of freshly milled barley and rye. A little bit of toast.
Yeah, just very mild.
Yeah, not a lot, but just it's in there. That is interesting.
It's ultra malty. Like, there's... bits of flavor from the rye, the sourdough, like everything is, it's very bread forward for sure.
Interesting. I was going to say super musty and fruit forward.
It's got that too.
Like, I'm, you know, one of those interesting things where two people taste so super different things. By the way, we just had taco salad before this, so that may affect it.
Maybe. It's almost, without being bad, like fruit bread, it's almost like fruit bread.
Yeah, a little bit. And I like fruit bread, so screw it.
Oh, okay. Well, I like this, and I don't like fruit bread.
What I'm getting so much of is, again, that super musty, just crushed grape taste. We had a couple of other Moscato beers, one or two others before, and it's given me a lot of impressions of that.
Okay. I can kind of get that.
Yeah, a lot of there's some dark rye crust kind of coming through that's providing a nice backbone. It's not super sweet or anything.
And there's that little bit of rye spice too.
Yeah, there is that. I am getting some of that.
Overall, though, it's a really interesting beer, and I'm happy they've done this because this is not something I would have thought to make if I was brewing beer, and it's quite tasty. And it's I think it was brewed in or bottled in March 2018.
Yeah, that's what it says.
So it's fairly new.
That is, like, I really, really think that's interesting. I'm going to have to drink a lot more of this to find out if I like it, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Well, you've got a glass of beer in front of you, right?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is I might have to put this aside and get a separate glass for the next ones because I really want to just slowly go through this one. This is a super slow sipper for me.
Let it warm up a bit?
Yeah, let it warm up and just, like, take my time with it. There's a lot going on here, and I kind of want to see where it goes.
Definitely, yeah. But I definitely think they hit on a point that people don't think about doing, and it worked really well, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, regardless of if I decide I like it by the end of this glass, I think it's super interesting.
Yeah.
That for me, that's one of the best things I can say about a beer is I don't know if I like it or not.
Okay.
I like that I have to sit there and really think about it. If I can just go, yep, I like it. No, don't like it. I might like it or not, but it's not super interesting if I can do that.
That's true. I mean, your favorite band or whatever, you probably didn't like the first time you heard it.
No, totally not. But
you know, it's something that you listen to more and more, and it kind of just something catches, and then it becomes your favorite band, or a book you're reading might not really catch your attention until you hit a certain part of that book, and then suddenly it's your favorite book of all time.
Totally. Spice Girls. Kidding.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. All right, well, we let that warm up a bit so Steve can think about it a little more. We'll try the Wolven. It's the barrel-aged dark ale with raspberries, also part of the Brewers series. This one's 7.7% alcohol. And Wolven spent a year brooding in white wine barrels and was then conditioned on raspberries. It is emboldened with depths of chocolate and coffee, notes that meld into a subtle tart raspberry flavor with a dry wine-like finish. This one was bottled in January 2018.
I know it's a bit of a fad, but I am actually enjoying the wine-inspired or wine-aged beers. I think it adds some interesting notes that don't come out of just a lot of the grain bills that you can use for beer. I think it's an interesting idea. I'm looking forward to trying this one.
I am all about barrel-aging any beer that makes sense to be barrel-aged, be it rum, whiskey, wine, tequila, matching flavors and just trying things out. And I mean, if it doesn't turn out, try a different barrel next time.
Oh yeah, totally. Like, I mean, sometimes it's not going to work out, but I think it's really, it's one of the barrel types that gets overlooked a lot. And I'm really excited to try this one.
Actually, in sour beers in general, I don't find that they are overlooked. A white wine barrel is actually usually, preferred over a lot of the other barrels because the flavor is just too prominent often. All right, this one is super black.
Yeah, I don't see much through that at all, even at the base of the glass.
We're basically looking color-wise at a stout. A little bit of sediment, probably some of the yeast still in the bottle that I poured a little hard in my glass. I don't think I see it in Steve's.
No, I got nothing.
Nice brown head on it too.
Yeah, that's a good dark tan. You can certainly smell the wine on it.
Yeah, and it's got some chocolate and it's got the raspberries in there.
Yeah, definitely the raspberries. I'm not getting much of the chocolate on the nose, but
I'm getting chocolate right in behind the raspberries personally.
And it's just got that sour acid.
Yeah.
Bite to the nose.
Tell me you're not getting that chocolate.
Oh yeah, the chocolate is right there in the taste. That's there.
It's raspberries and chocolate kind of fighting for the front flavor in this.
Honestly, this reminds me of, I don't remember where I had it, but I had a balsamic raspberry dark chocolate truffle, and that's this.
Yeah, I guess kind of. It's a little light. Like, it's not a super balsamic vinegary flavor.
No.
But the tartness, because there are some sours that have got that really nice balsamic flavor. This isn't it, but I can see where you're getting that.
Right. And in the truffle I'm talking about, it was like, it was a light touch on the vinegar. So this is right on. Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of sours. Like, they're fine. But this is doing it for me. This works.
Yeah. They've really nailed it with this. It's not overly roasty like some sour stouts can be. I don't know if this is actually technically a stout, but it looks like one, so I'm going to consider it a stout for now.
I have no
idea. But it doesn't have that roast that clashes a little bit for some people with the sour. And again, it's just mildly tart. Like, this is not a really big sour beer. This is something you could drink quite a bit of because it's not going to give you heartburn like some sours that you get.
No, this is not going to land in your stomach and come back 3 hours later.
Yeah, like, this isn't one of those like really nice cascade beers that you can only have like 6 ounces of.
Yeah, no, I could drink a bottle of this. I'm not sure I drink too many bottles of this, but it's fun. I like this.
This would be really good as a dessert beer. It's not overly sweet like a dessert beer, but it would go really well after a meal, I think.
Mm. Oh, actually, funnily enough, with raspberries.
Yeah.
But no, I really do enjoy this. This is actually this is a really nice dessert beer. This is something I would crack open after a good hearty meal. Honestly, the weather's a little warm for this, but yeah, I'm good with it.
I just like the fact that when Steel and Oak first opened, they didn't take a lot of chances with their beers. They were well made. They were flavorful.
Mm, they were solid.
But they were, they weren't taking any real chances with their beers. The first two beers that we've tried here from their Brewers series, I mean, it's not a big hop bomb. It's not a huge alcohol beer. But they're making a beer with bread on the one, the Kalib. And then you got this sour here that's different. They're going at something a little differently. Right, and it's nice to see that they're taking chances a little more now.
And I always appreciate that. It's nice to see somebody try something out and see where it goes.
Yeah, and I mean, they've always been a solid brewery, but now they've got this brewer series. They're playing with things. They finally broke their rule, and now they're trying to keep an IPA on tap at all times. It just changes as they run out. They've got a different one, whereas they were kind of against having an IPA for a long time.
Yeah, I always kind of appreciated that rule just for the weird principle it showed. But given the market, yeah, it's probably a good idea they have one on tap.
It's like, I'm not going to brew an IPA because I don't like money.
No comment.
I mean, you just got to look at places like Twin Sails and just keep brewing crazy IPAs and people keep flocking there.
I'll give you that one. It's, you know me. I like my stouts and porters. I'm not super into IPAs.
I like them all except for lagers.
Oh, bite me. There's good lagers.
Yeah. Usually they're icebox and stuff.
Yeah. House Hunt is a pretty good lager.
That's not bad. But yeah, no, I really enjoy this.
Yeah, no, I keep sipping it, and I'm not even consciously trying to. Like, it just keeps coming back. Like,
yeah.
I'm happy to keep drinking this. I like this. I would recommend this to maybe not like a Coors drinker just getting into craft beer, but I would recommend this to somebody who's only tried like 3 IPAs and wants to branch out a little.
Or someone who, they say they don't like craft beer, and that's because everything they've tried from craft beer-wise has been ultra bitter to them.
Mm, yeah.
This has got very little bitterness. It's more on the sweet side, more on the malty side, with just a hint of the tartness. It's not going to scare anyone away, really.
I'll disagree there. This will scare people away if they were just Coors and straight into this.
Well, if they didn't look at it, I don't think it would. The color is going to scare people. But if they, blindfold them, get them to sip this.
I don't know. It's got a weird, funky, musty, cool barn floor bit to the sour, and I say that in the best possible way. that as if you were coming at this cold, like you weren't into anything super flavorful or interesting, and we can just agree to disagree on this, I'd ease somebody into this one.
Okay,
what's the grain bill on this? I can see if Sarah can have some. Note to all breweries out there, if you include your grain bill, that would be super helpful for anybody with allergies.
Or just say, gluten-free if it's gluten-free.
Well, I mean, gluten, barley has gluten, but if you could say true. Wheat-free.
Just wheat-free.
Let us know if there's wheat in it or not. That would be really great.
Especially for the producers of hazy IPAs, hazy pails.
Yeah, how do you haze it? Are you using oats, wheats? What's going on?
I mean, traditionally it's oat, but a lot of people are using wheat too, and that doesn't work for a lot of people. Works for us, but it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah, Mike and I are fine, but, you know, I'd kind of like to know if there's wheat in it or not. And, you know, as a reviewer, I really like knowing what the grain bill is. You don't have to give me proportions or anything, but, you know, tell me if you used something interesting. If you want to just tell me barley, just tell me barley. If you want to tell me, you know, the actual malts you used, great. I'd love to know.
Glad I grabbed the extra two because I'd never even heard of the Woven.
That's super cool. I'm really glad they tried that. I'm really curious what wine barrels they used. They may not know. I know a lot of barrel buying comes kind of sight unseen. You just get white wine, but
it does taste white winey though, doesn't it?
Like, it tastes super white winey, but I'm kind of curious, like, what type.
Why don't we mention that?
Actually, as an addendum to the grain bill thing, whenever you say barrel aged, in particular, this Wolven says white wine barrel aged. Kind of curious. Do you know what the varietal was or the wine specifically? I know this is a super geeky thing to ask, but I'm curious. Like, was that a Riesling? Was that Pinot Grigio? Gonna guess a Riesling, but yeah. As a beer geek, I'd kind of like to know what kind of barrel that was and see what effect it had.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you'd have to tell me what the barrel was for me to actually pick out what the wine was. Other than I can tell if it's a white or a red variety. There's enough of a difference in that for someone who doesn't drink wine like me to still pick that out. But it'd be nice to know. I agree.
I mean, I know real estate is at a premium on the bottle, but even on the website, just as it, you know, if I can do a quick search and go, oh, okay, it was, and you know, just barley, hops, water, and yeast, and it was in a Riesling barrel. That'd be cool to know.
All right. The last beer of this tasting is one of the ones that got me most excited when they first brought this one out. It's their Baltic Porter. It's 7.6% alcohol, 28 IBU. For people that don't know, a Baltic Porter is supposed to be a lager. I'm going to assume this is actually the same. Let's see what it says here.
And you said you didn't like lagers.
Well, when you say you don't like lagers, you mean yellow fizzy.
Oh, I'm just messing with you.
It's originally brewed by countries bordering the Baltic Sea. This porter is now brewed in a city that borders the Fraser River. Fermented with lager yeast, the Steel and Oak Baltic Porter has notes of licorice, cocoa, and toffee, followed by a lightly spiced finish.
Lithuania! What? It's where my grandparents are from. Wow, that is dark. A little bit of brown highlight through it, though. You can see just a little light coming through if you really hold it up to a bright, bright light.
Want a little more, Steve?
Yeah, thanks. Really nice tan head on that. That really, I've got a solid inch and a half of head on there.
And I've got just a little bit more.
That's really sweetly herbal on the nose, actually. Like
some dark fruits in there.
Yeah, I'm getting like the candied fennel you get at Indian restaurants.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just a little.
And there's a little bit of anise, like it said on the bottle.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting too. Yeah, there's the dark fruit. There's a little bit of grape, like fresh dark red grape. And I'm getting a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of a little roasty malt.
Definitely.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That is really, really good.
Lots of, like, there is the anise, there's the dark fruits, maybe a little bit of raisin in there. Some mild roasty, some chocolate.
Yeah, that has a lot going on. Oh, hey, the bitterness just kicked in too.
Yep.
Like bitter cocoa nibs.
Yeah, it's not hops bitterness really. You're just getting something more from cocoa or something, yeah.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. The other two are great. I really enjoyed them, but that is fantastic. I need like three bottles of this to age.
Well, I picked this up recently at the brewery in New West, so I would assume there's still some left there.
Well, I'll swing by on my way home. It's not that far.
That's true. I mean, all of these were picked up at the brewery about 2 weeks ago, I think.
Okay.
So they're all probably still available. These aren't ones that are going to get the rush. Like, this isn't, you know, the next crazy IPA that people are going to rush out for. So they're going to stick around a little bit.
Quick note to the brewery. Do you recommend aging the Baltic Porter? I'm curious. I've never tried aging a lager. I don't know how that would work.
I mean, it's only 7.6% alcohol. It's slightly low to barrel age, or sorry, to cellar age. But as long as it was bottled well, it would probably at least age for a year. But I mean, none of these three I would age too long because they're, I like to age things that are kind of 9+.
Yeah, no, the first two I don't think I would age much. Might be kind of interesting to see if they mellowed a touch over like 4 or 5 months.
The Wolven, the sour would probably age fairly well because sour beers all seem to age well.
But, well, the acid preserves them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it mellows nicely, but I don't think I'd want to lose too much of it. It kind of adds a nice complexity. But
definitely.
Yeah, the Baltic Porter, actually, I'd really be curious to see what that does in a year.
Yeah. I mean, it's already so drinkable. Like, it's not a beer that, like, some of the big Russian Imperial Stouts, barley wines, are almost too harsh when they're fresh for a lot of people, and that's why people age them. This one already tastes really good.
Yeah, no.
Like, but I'm not saying it wouldn't actually get better with age. It very well might.
Yeah, no, I have absolutely no problems drinking this fresh, and I probably will go and get a couple of bottles to do just that.
Yeah.
But I might, I think I might pick up a bottle to age and see what this does in a year.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better with every sip.
Yeah, no, I love this. This is stellar. Like, it has a lot of levels of flavor, and it kind of rolls through them. It's not all at once. You get right on the front, you get a little bit of fruit, a little bit of chocolate, then it moves into kind of a roasty phase. Then you get a weird bitter cocoa nib. I should actually stop drinking and let it just sort of sit on the tongue for a minute because it keeps going. This is really good.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite of the night.
Yeah, I think that's the topper. The other two were solid. I have no complaints, but this one really kind of, this one raised the bar.
I think it's just a preference thing, though.
Oh, I mean,
I'm a big fan. I'm a bit of a, you know, a nut for Baltic Porters, because they're often kind of on the sweeter side of a porter, whereas a lot of stouts I find end up being kind of roasty and bitter, which are really good in cold weather, but in hot weather I'd really rather have sort of that sweeter porter or stout.
That's a good point, actually.
It's just more enjoyable.
Yeah, no, I buy that. This is actually a really good, yeah, now that you pointed out, this is a really good beer for the current weather, which I depending on who's where you are, it's what, like 18 degrees Celsius, a 70% humidity.
A day ago it was 30.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, who knows?
Yeah, we're recording this in the evening, by the way. So, you know, during the day, there was probably a solid, 22, 24 degrees Celsius?
It was cloudy all day today, so it wasn't as bad as the day before. But we're in that weird time of year where it could be 30 and it could be 15.
And by the way, we're now super drunk because we're discussing the weather in detail.
No. We're being super Vancouver. We complain about the weather all the time. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too rainy. It's too dry. It's
okay. Okay.
Oh no, we had that one snowflake this year.
Hey, we had snow at Christmas. Stop complaining.
Oh, I was in Kelowna where there was like 3 feet of snow.
Okay, that sucks. But
no, it was great. Yeah, no, I really like this. Why don't we go back to the Kalib? I think that's how you pronounce it, and just see what you think now that it's kind of warm up a bit. Yeah, give it a good swirl.
I'm going to say it's been, 10 minutes so far, and it's got a good head retention. It comes right back.
No, it's probably more like 15 minutes with our little break and stuff.
I got to say, that actually follows the porter really well.
Yeah, actually, I like it better now that I've had the Baltic Porter.
It's I don't know if it's the following or the waiting, but it's mellowed just a touch. Like, not a lot. It's not like we aged it or anything, but it does give sort of the impression of it's let off a little bit of that alcohol and acid.
Yeah, no, it's just really refreshing.
Yeah, it's gotten a little mellower. It's a touch smoother. It's not quite as harsh. Yeah, I can't say whether it's following the porter or just letting it breathe a little. That's actually significantly better.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. I had a glass of this on tap at the brewery when I picked these up.
Oh, how'd that go?
And it was really, really tasty as well. That's why I was thinking about buying a bottle, and then the brewery gave me a bottle to actually record this.
Hey, props and to then Seal and Oak.
When you have one bottle, you might as well buy a couple more so that you can actually do an episode with it, right?
Well, of course.
One's not enough.
Well, I mean, that's why I have two of every Moody Ale's bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout going back to, what was it, 2015?
Yes. So in a year or two, we're going to.
Yeah, in 2020, we're going to have one hell of an episode. We're going to be so drunk.
Which is going to be wonderful. Well, I'm really happy with these beers. I've always been a fan of Steel and Oak. I'm one of the Founders Club people, but it makes me a lot more excited that they have kind of started breaking free of their original plan, and they're playing around with more flavor profiles and just being adventurous.
Yeah, no, it was cool that they had their original plan, but it's nice to see them kind of growing past that. They built a solid business, a solid base of beers, and now they're trying something new. And that's really cool. I love when breweries do that.
Yeah, and I mean, like as the bottle says here, they were established in 2013. It's now 2018. And if a brewery isn't learning and changing with the times, they're going to fall behind. We've seen lots of breweries that were considered the best here locally. And over the years, they didn't really do anything, and they've fallen on the wayside, and now they're having trouble selling their beer. And they're now, you know, stumbling around trying to figure out what's going on and how can they start selling more beer. The real thing is you just got to change with the times.
Yeah, try something new. Experiment a little. Try a couple of test batches and see what works, and then try selling it. See what happens.
Yeah. You know, people's tastes change with time. Brewers, drinkers, all of ours. And what was really popular 10 years ago, you probably can't sell anymore. It just, you know.
There are certainly, like, that's not to say that there are some, that everything that is tried and tested is bad. It's just, you know, we've had it.
Well, no, it's not even that, but brewing techniques get better. If you keep brewing that beer the exact same way for 10 years and you don't learn from your 10 years of experience on how to make it even better, you're probably going to fall behind.
Granted, yeah.
Some of the best breweries in the United States, they've learned that or haven't, and you can see which ones did that and which ones didn't. There's one right now in the States that almost shut down because they couldn't keep up with the times. Mm-hmm. But I guess might as well close this out.
Yeah, it's a good place to wrap up.
For me, I think my favorite is the Baltic Porter. But I loved both the Wolven and the Klib. Both are really good beers, and I would pick them up again anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. These are all three fantastic beers. If I was going to suggest anything, actually pick up the Klib and the Baltic Porter together and alternate. They're a really cool back and forth.
All right. Well, thanks again, Steve. This has been great.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat, or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com, and to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Beginning of the end.